Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean, and to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth as he that feareth an oath. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. For to him that is joined to all the living there is hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished, neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all thy days of thy life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity. For that is thy portion in this life, and thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. There was a little city, and few men within it. And there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. May God bless the reading of his word, and let us kneel before him in prayer. The author of this book of Ecclesiastes is a king of Israel who ruled in Jerusalem and who had many experiences, and he owned many things. Presumably it's King Solomon. He went through a lot, and he desired to know many things. He says, I gave my heart to seek and to search out wisdom concerning those things which are done under the heaven. He did many, many things. We read that in chapter 2, of all the things that he did. But he comes to a conclusion, and he says, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. After he had experienced it all, after he had owned so many things, he says that these things that are done under the sun, they're just vanity and vexation of spirit. Vexation, that which vexes, that which troubles, that which disturbs our spirit. That's what's under the sun. And that expression is used quite often throughout Ecclesiastes and even many times in this chapter that we read together this evening. Things that are done under the sun. In this life, in this temporal life, the work, the wisdom, life, death, all these things that happen under the sun in this life. And so he comes to that point in realizing that it's all vanity. It's all vanity and vexation of spirit. Outside of the Lord, there is nothing that gives satisfaction, that gives the fullness, that gives satisfaction to our hearts, to our souls, to our minds. Nothing here can give that, but the Lord can. And Solomon had come to know that, and throughout the scriptures we can come to understand that truth. That besides the Lord, outside of the Lord, all is vanity. It's all and vexation of the spirit. So he begins here in this chapter by saying, "For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this." And these are the observations he's coming to. See, I considered in my heart, and I want to declare this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. The righteous and the wise, and everything that they do, all the diligence and all the work and all the efforts that are put in and all the things that are done with our hands, of the righteous and the wise, it's all in the hands of God. And we've come to know this truth, and we see this truth, that all things of life, they're in the hand of God. And we gladly give it to the Lord. We know that when all things are in the hands of the Lord, He will do well. He will be gracious. And He will give. And He will provide. Because He is a faithful God. So if we could just consider two brothers, apostles, James and John. They were fishermen. The Lord called them. And they experienced much with the Lord as they walked with Him. They experienced a transfiguration. They experienced miracles. They experienced many things with the Lord. And they even had a desire, along with their mother, that one would sit on one side of the Lord and the other on the other side in heaven. They experienced all these things. But after the Lord resurrected and ascended to heaven, their lives were in the hand of God. And it wasn't long after the Lord's ascension that James was beheaded. His life was in the hands of the Lord, and he was beheaded. But his brother John lived on, and presumably to a very old age. His life was also in the hands of the Lord. When we allow our lives to be in the hands of the Lord, we are blessed. We are blessed. And the Lord will provide in His goodness, and we will feel His presence, and He will be with us. And so Solomon here is coming to this conclusion that the righteous and the wise and everything that they do, all that John did, all that James did, all their works, they're all in the hand of God. And he considered that, and now it's being declared. Then he comes further in this chapter and he's saying, all things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrifices and to him that sacrifices not, and to the good and to the sinner. To everyone, he's saying there's one event to everyone. Whether you're going to be faithful and not swear an oath, lest you can't keep it, or whether you're going to be proud. There is one event to all, he says, and that is death. And in an earlier chapter in Ecclesiastes, he says the same thing, but in terms of people and animals, one event happens to them all, and that is death. And so as we read these things, and as he's going through here, and he's saying that all is vanity and vexation of the spirit, it can bring us to a point where we can become despondent. He says, "For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. But for a living dog is better than a dead lion. Though a lion may be powerful and strong, far superior to a dog, but if it's dead, there's no strength there. There's nothing for a dead lion. And for the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten." Again, we know that all life is, in terms of biologically, shall perish. And that, again, can bring us to this point of despondency. Because when they are perished, they have no more portion in anything that is done under the sun. Again, he keeps bringing this phrase, under the sun, in this life. There's no more that can be done after one perishes. But then he says, "Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works." Don't allow this truth that all people die, whether you're good or evil, all people die. Don't let that bring you to a point of despondency, of despair, of depression. He's saying that there's something greater than this, and the Lord will provide it. But while we live here in this life, he says, "Eat thy bread with joy and have a merry heart, drink thy wine with a merry heart. Let thy garments always be white, and let thy head lack no ointment." Enjoy the gifts that God has given to you. God has given unto us gifts. God has given unto us a measure of health. God has given unto us food. God has given unto us relationships that are precious to us. Even as he says here, "Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life of thy vanity." God has given unto us many gifts to enjoy. Not simply that he would give us life and then say, "Okay, you know now you're going to die, and there's nothing more." But no, he gives unto us gifts in this life. And he wants us to richly enjoy the gifts that he gives us. Where it becomes vanity and vexation of spirit is when we indulge in this life. When we are focused only on this life. What can I get for me? How can I have bigger and better and more things? That becomes vanity and vexation of spirit. But God gives us gifts. And he wants us to enjoy the gifts that he gives unto us. And to us to express our gratitude and thankfulness for these gifts that he gives unto us. This is the portion that we have in this life. And the labor which we take under the sun. Again, that expression, under the sun. In this life, in this temporal life. And so he's bringing out and he's making these declarations. There is one event to all die, but God has given unto us gifts. And let's enjoy these gifts that God has given unto us. Then he says here in verse number 10, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." Be diligent when you go about an activity in this life, under the sun. Give yourself over to the labor. Do what God would have you to do. Be a blessing unto others. So he's giving this advice and this exhortation. "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." So this life will come to an end, but while we are here, we are able to work. And we ought to work, even as the Lord gives us commandment. the Lord Jesus came here upon this earth, and he worked. He said at one point, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. He came to do the works of his Father. And while we are here, whatever we find our hands to do, that we would do it with our might, that we would do it unto the Lord, just as the Lord Jesus Christ did. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. So we follow our Lord's example, that we do what the Lord would what the Lord would have us to do. And then there's further verses in the New Testament, so that we're not focusing only on the Old Testament, but on the New Testament as well. Romans says, not to be slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So whatever our hands find to do, do it with our might. We ought to be not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Not slothful in the Lord's business. See, we can work and we can take all of our labors and use it to indulge ourselves. And when we do that, we quickly find that that's vanity and vexation of spirit. But we're not slothful in the Lord's business, but we're fervent in spirit, and we do it to serve the Lord. In Ephesians, we read, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Let him labor, working with his hands that thing which is good. And then the reason for that is so that he may have to give to him that needeth. This is what the word of the Lord teaches us in wisdom, that we might know these things and that we might have these gifts of life and rejoice in that which the Lord has given unto us. And then in Colossians, a familiar verse to all of us, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto them, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. This is who we're serving. As the Bible is telling us, to work, and whatever we do, do it with all our might. We're doing it because we are serving the Lord. We are serving the Lord. There's an older sister that I have admiration for, and she gave a good advice one time by saying that when we do something for the Lord, we should give it our best effort. It should be our best, because we're doing it for the Lord. The Lord gave unto us his best. And so when we do something for the Lord, we should give it our best. And so the Bible here is saying, whatever we do, do it with our might, because we are serving the Lord. We are serving the Lord. So may God give us grace in that, that we would know to labor, and whatever we do, that we would do it with our might, and knowing that it's serving the Lord, and it's bringing him honor, and bringing him glory. And again, we don't labor to indulge of ourselves, but that we may have to give to them that need, and that we would be serving the Lord in our labors, looking beyond that which is under the sun in this life. In verse number 11, he says, I returned and saw under the sun. Again, King Solomon here, I want to make a declaration unto you. This is what I've seen. I've seen it all. I've built all those vineyards. I've got maidservants, men servants, musicians, all these things. I've experienced so much. And he says, I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. So these things, you would assume that when you put in that diligence, when you put in that effort, and when you apply wisdom and you apply skill, that there is a reward there. But he's saying, what I saw under the sun is that time and chance happeneth to them all. Our lives are in the hands of the Lord, just as we read again in that first verse. Our lives are in the hands of the Lord. And time and chance happeneth to them all. Again, I always marvel that John the Baptist, a cousin of the Lord Jesus Christ, was beheaded. And Jesus, in his omnipotence, could have just simply retrieved the head of John the Baptist and placed it back on his body, and he would have been healed and restored to life again. And he didn't do it. But yet, a widow's only son was raised to life. We are in the hands of the Lord, and we yield ourselves to the hands of the Lord. And we find that that is the best place for us to be. Not according to our skills, not according to our wisdom, not according to our abilities. But time and chance happeneth to them all. He says, "For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, as the birds that are caught in a snare, so the sons of men are snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them." Our death will come, and it will come suddenly. We don't know when, but there will be that time. That time will come, but we don't know it. But we are in the hands of the Lord. And again, that simply just gives us comfort. Who, the giver of life, we are under his control. And then he speaks of a story about something, again, that a wisdom that he saw, again, under the sun, and it seemed great to him. It seemed great to him. There was this little city with just a few people in it. Not a fortress, not a big city, not a large defense around about it, but just a little city with a few people in it. And here comes this great king, and he besieges it, and he builds great bulwarks against it. There's no chance that this little city with a few people in it could withstand against this great king who comes and with all his bulwarks, and he surrounds the city and besieges it. Except for that there is this old man that didn't have much regard because he was poor. And he, by his wisdom, he delivers the city. Not because he had weapons. Not because he was strong. Not because he was skilled. Not because of the labor of his hands, but because he had wisdom. He had wisdom. And then Solomon says here, "Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. And the words of wise are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war." He expresses all these things about wisdom and the power of wisdom. But not a wisdom that is under the sun, but a wisdom that is above the sun. A wisdom that comes from heaven above. And this is where we find joy. And this is where our hope and strength all comes from. Because we have a God who is above the sun. All these things happen under the sun. But we have a God who transcends this temporal life. And so he writes in this book, chapter 2, verse 13, he says, "Then I saw that wisdom excels folly as far as light excelleth darkness." He went to folly, he went to madness, and he went to wisdom. And he comes to this conclusion that wisdom excels folly just as much as light excels darkness. And that truth was written in his heart indelibly. "For wisdom is a defense," he writes further in this book. "And money is a defense, but the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to them that have it." Wisdom gives us life. And yet, it's not the wisdom of this world. He's speaking here of you know, you're not going to find wisdom among those that cry, the cries of him that ruleth among the fools. That's not where you're going to find a wisdom that that the Lord would want that the Lord wants us to have. James speaks of the wisdom that comes from above the sun, not under the sun. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. And we might read that and might think that, well, why would wisdom first be pure? But here, the Bible is speaking that it is first clean. It's without any faults. It's pure. It's then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. Easily to be accepted. Readily to be accepted. It's full of mercy and good fruits. It's without partiality, and it's without hypocrisy. This is the wisdom that comes from above. And Solomon and the whole Bible says, take of this wisdom. Be a partaker of this wisdom that is above the sun, that goes beyond the vexation and vanity that is in this life, that will not fulfill us, will not satisfy. But this wisdom that's from above is it's peaceable and it's gentle. That's this wisdom that comes from above. And so we want to be partakers of God's word, and we want to allow his word to flow in us. I really appreciated the verse that we read Sunday morning where it said that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. The word of the Lord, this wisdom that comes from above, that it would have free course. So let's visualize this, that the word of the Lord would have free course, that it would always be flowing. If we have a garden hose and the water is on, the water flows out the end of the hose. But if there's a kink in the hose, it doesn't flow. It doesn't flow. And Satan would like us to have kinks in this hose, but the word of the Lord, but it's saying here, though, that the word of the Lord may have free course, that it might freely flow, and that it would be glorified, that this word of the Lord would be a part of our lives, that we would be partakers of it, that we would read it every day, that we would have a verse of the day, that we would refer to the app on our phone of the Bible, that the word of the Lord would have free course to us, that we would meditate then on it, that this wisdom that is from above might fill us, that we might have that peaceableness about us and a gentleness, as the wisdom of the Lord is in us, as the word of the Lord has free course in our lives. And then last Sunday we also read of the great, great value of being poor in spirit, of being meek, of being merciful, of hungering and thirsting after righteousness, after the wisdom that is found in his word. This is what the Lord is calling us to. That his word would have free course in our lives and that he would be glorified by it. And so whatever we apply ourselves to in the Lord, knowing that we are serving the Lord not for self-indulgences, but that we would serve the Lord, serving others, and that we would do it with all of our might. That's our portion in this life. And God gives us gifts. We are to enjoy the gifts that God gives unto us. And then our life is a blessing. Our life is a blessing. And we bless those round about us. Amen.
The Bible speaks of the manifold wisdom of God. Wisdom that has many facets and aspects. And even as we've meditated on this one chapter, in many different ways, the Word of God shines on the path of our lives. as individuals and as a group, to give us encouragement, to give us warning, to speak words of truth that will never change. It is remarkable to see that so long ago, the wisest man that had lived up to that point had seen so many things, so many lessons to be learned, so many experiences to be had, and he came out with a conclusion that the things that are under the sun lead to vanity and vexation of spirit. And mankind continues to try to do better. They think that perhaps if they just put enough information into their algorithms, into their computers, that they're going to have enough information that all our problems are going to be solved. But I have a prediction that all of their algorithms, all of their ideas, if it's fed with things from underneath this sun, you won't get anything else out but vanity and vexation of spirit. But the Word of God, the Word of God teaches us about Jesus Christ, who said, there's one greater than Solomon here. The one who we put our faith in. The one, even as we sang in that first hymn, the one in whom the weak find their strength and find the wisdom to overcome insurmountable enemy of Satan in this world is found in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it's in the word of the New Testament that says, our labor is not in vain in the Lord. In the Lord, we seek to use our connections that we have with one another. We seek to use the resources that we've been blessed with to lay up treasures in heaven, where moth doesn't corrupt, and rust doesn't corrupt, and moth eat, and thieves break through and steal, and that we leave behind. But we look forward. We look forward to the riches of glory in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that is the lesson of faith. May we each take the lessons that we've learned, continue to meditate upon them, continue to grow in them for God's honor and glory. Amen.